Hi, I'm W2P Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Sarah Bockel, who's going to be coming in the Carole King musical, playing Carole King. It's called Beautiful, which is at National Theater November 27th through December 30th. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Now, where are we? This is the national tour. Where are we on the tour before you get to D.C.? Like, what other cities are you hitting first?
Well, right now, we are actually in Canada. We are in Edmonton.
Hey.
And next week, we're going to Vancouver. And then we'll hit D.C. We're going off grid, off of national.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to see it. I think it came through. It came through a couple years ago. I want to say,
yes,
God, what year was that? 2015. Back
2015.
When it was at Kennedy Center? You were there?
Yes, I was.
Oh, who did you play? Because it was Abby Mueller was as Carole King, but who were you in that one?
Yes, I was her understudy. I played Betty in the ensemble.
Okay, but did you get to go out there at all on any night she had off?
I didn't. You know, I got to be on stage every night in the ensemble, but I didn't get to go on in the Kennedy Center, which was okay because I would have been a nervous wreck.
Yeah, Gabe, now you're gonna come to National Theater and think you got the nerves out a little by now, so that's good.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready now.
So what's it like? Well, let's talk about then. What's it like then that you got to watch Abby, you know, in the wings, and now getting to take it over and do this awesome role on your own for a national tour? Did you learn anything from her? And how exciting is that?
Oh my God, are you kidding? It was the perfect prep. Watching Abby every night taught me an incredible amount about, acting, being present, being grounded, consistency, longevity. You know, I just learned so much from her. And then I actually, the second year of the tour, I got to understudy Julia Nitel, who is a, you know, completely different, but also, you know, incredibly beautiful take on Carole King's life, and which I learned so many other things from Julia. And then, you know, being able to take over the role in the third year, I really felt like I was the best person for the job because I had so much experience watching and I had so much time to create. And by that time, I was ready to take over and make it my own.
Yeah, those seriously are the perfect people to learn from, especially Mueller, because her sister, didn't her sister originated, won a Tony on Broadway when it first came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesse Mueller won a Tony, and then Abby got to take over for her and originate the role on the tour, which, and like, since I've seen both Jesse and Abby, it just like, oh my God, so, you know, beautiful, different, just radiant, both work perfectly, it takes on the role.
Awesome. Well, before we get too far in, you know the story really well. I know it well from having seen it before and interviewed the cast last time around. But let's take a pause in case some of our listeners, maybe they don't, I mean, they know Carole King's music, but maybe they have not seen this jukebox musical. Explain sort of just a little, give us a little like plot summary, premise here.
Absolutely. Well, it's pretty much everything you didn't know about Carole King. And the fact is that she has the most incredible life story. And we tell from when she is 16 to 29. And what you don't know is that she got pregnant at 16 years old, married her high school sweetheart, Jerry Goffin, who was her first husband and songwriting partner. They created this, like, they had a magical connection as songwriting partners and created some of the, you know, some of the top Motown hits that you absolutely know. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Some Kind of Wonderful.
Locomotion.
The Locomotion, right. You know, songs that you know, but you have no idea what the backstory is of those songs. You know, not including Tapestry, you know, when she went out on her own. And just like writing for Aretha Franklin before she was huge. She was writing songs for the Drifters, the Shirelles, Little Eva. With the Crystals, the Cookies, you know, just some of the biggest Motown bands of the time.
And what I thought was really cool, so like, you just listed all the songs that Carole and her husband Jerry Goffin wrote as, you know, as the songwriting duo and romance, you know, lovers in the show too. But what's really cool I love is sort of the, you know, the double date friendship / song, you know, friendly rivalry with Cynthia,
yes,
and Barry, who, you know,
yes,
that remind us some of the songs they wrote. I mean, they are also like the soundtrack of Motown.
Yes, writing for the Righteous Brothers and writing on Broadway for the Drifters, you know, like a song that you're like, oh yeah, that was a pop song.
Yeah,
you know,
like, what was the Righteous Brothers one? It was You've Lost That Loving Feeling, right? And he's Sure the Boy I Love for the Crystals. Yeah, there's so many.
Yes, and Walking in the Rain. You know, I mean, just like songs that you hear like in movies and in coffee shops and in Walgreens, but just these songs that like have shaped your life that you don't even know that you know. And the fact that it's just really cool that it's a true story, and like Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann are still together. They're still very close with Carole King. You know, their friendships lasted, and they're, you know, still writing today. It's just really cool, you know, their story and how they met as well, and how their like competitive friendship.
Do you think that talk about that competitive friendship a little more? Like, do you think that those two duos duking it out, like trading, you know, hit single, elevated each other?
Absolutely, you know, and how cool! Like, and it definitely was friendly, but I mean, like, you know, they also needed the money,
right.
So. I mean, just like motivating themselves and kind of like making each other better, teasing each other. The like, you know, we get to have this like really friendly competition going on. You know, like, well, On Broadway only made it to number 3. Well, you know, it's our turn now. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow is going to number 1. You know, just like things like that is really cool to kind of like, you just don't know what's going on in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, this famous hit. We see you and Raise You, another iconic song. It's pretty funny.
Exactly.
Now we've gone into, you know, those two duo couples and all the old Motown hits that they did as songwriters. But we got to mention that our listeners will, of course, get to hear. I mean, the real deal here is we get to see all those, you know, Carole break out on her own and do Tapestry, which was obviously huge. I actually have the vinyl at home. I listen to it all the time. It's amazing. But remind our listeners.
So do I.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Remind our listeners, like, just a sampling of which songs they're going to hear when they come see the show that are from Tapestry.
Absolutely. You're going to get It's Too Late. You're going to get You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. I Feel the Earth Move. You've Got a Friend. Not to mention, she also redid on Tapestry Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
So Far Away.
Which is the title song, So Far Away. Come on, that's the top song, you know. That we do at the top of the show, and it's like when we're getting to those Tapestry songs, we, you know, wow, It's Too Late is one of the first songs we play, and you know, when that intro starts, like, the audience is like, they didn't even know what they were going to get at the beginning of the show, and they've at this point hopefully forgotten, you know, that they're going to get Tapestry, and then it's just cool to like hear like the rustling and everybody kind of sit up at their seats, and sometimes we get an applause, you know, an intro applause, which is really cool.
It's awesome. I mean, honestly, even that, just start to finish, that whole album, like, even the so-called, you know, deeper cuts are amazing. Like, Where You Lead went on to be Gilmore Girls, or, you know, Smackwater Jack.
Yeah.
They're all amazing.
Exactly. There's songs up on the roof. There's songs that you don't even, you know, we play, like, in the intro to Act 2, you hear Where You Lead, just because we don't sing it in the show, or, like, there's a song that Cynthia and Barry Mann wrote called My Baby Does the Bossa Nova, which we play as a scene change. You know, there's more. And then our big opening number called 1650 Broadway, which is like all these songs of the time that were written at the Brill Building and 1650 Broadway, Poison Ivy. I'm trying to think.
There's so
they
many.
They got the papers and the trash, and Stupid Cupid, and so many, and the Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath. You know, all these songs are layered over each other. You're just hearing hit after hit after hit after hit, being all written and created like in an office in Manhattan, like people slaving over them, running on coffee and cigarettes, trying to get the new hit out.
Yeah, it totally sets the tone for the whole show. We get the time and the place and the energy, and it's great. But then take me sort of into, I mean, to me, I think, you know, and there's probably a reason why it's called Beautiful. I mean, that's the number that, I mean, that's your big solo shining moment. What's it like singing that? I mean, that's like the ballad goosebump one.
Yes, because that, when I get to sing Beautiful at the end of the show, we are singing it as if it's her Carnegie Hall performance in 1974. She's just won like 5 Grammys for Tapestry. It's her, you know, second solo album, and it's gone to an incredible amount of success. And it's, you know, she's not just a songwriter. She's a singer and a performer. She's up in front now. And I walk out, you know, in her Carnegie Hall dress and get to sit at a big grand piano and sing to the audience and, you know, tell them that, you know, you're as beautiful as you feel. And so, you know, even though she went through all these challenges, you know, and life challenges that would have derailed anyone's career, you know, teen pregnancy, marrying your high school sweetheart, going through a divorce, moving across country, you know, like just all these things that could have easily, she could have gone a different way or taken as a different way. She still had such incredible success. So just to, you know, kind of motivate people and inspire them to keep going and to getting to, you know, especially the women in the audience, talk to them and about how, you know, you've got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. it's an incredible way to end a show.
Absolutely. I mean, you kind of alluded to it in your answer there, but just delve a little more into sort of the I mean, we've talked a lot about the songwriting and, you know, their music, you know, the two duos writing that, but explain sort of the, you know, dive a little more into what you were saying about the actual scenes in between the songs. You know, it's a jukebox musical and some people go, okay, that's great. We get to hear the hits. And you do, of course, and they're awesome. But explain to the meat that's in between there and the personal stuff between her and Jerry and sort of the personal story we get to see on stage.
Absolutely. You know, I hope you come for the hits, but you stay for the story, which is a true story. And, you know, it's about really what it's about. It's about what was going on behind the song in her personal life while she was writing these hits, and how closely the songs are to her real life. And, you know, what was actually happening was she was married at, you know, 16, 17 years old and had a baby and married Jerry Goffin. And, you know, just like any marriage, they have their ups and downs. And what was really going on was that Jerry, you know, was going through some mental health issues and he was, you know, doing LSD and going through the 70s. And they were really trying to keep up with, you know, they were writing songs and they were really successful, but then the times changed, you know, Bob Dylan came out and, you know, the Screams and the Beatles and the sound kind of changed and people started writing their own songs. And so work was harder for them. And Jerry was really trying to keep up with those songwriters of the time, which were all their peers. And he was really trying to be the next Bob Dylan. And he was kind of losing it with all that pressure and being a father. And, you know, he ended up having, you know, electroshock therapy and they ended up getting a divorce. And it's about the breakdown of their marriage. It's about their struggles. It's about her having to overcome this heartbreak and using that heartbreak to create Tapestry. And she finally felt strong enough on her own to pursue a solo career. And that's what Tapestry came out of, and that's what a lot of people don't know.
That's awesome. Well, before we go, dish on your co-stars for a second. Who's our Jerry? Who's our Cynthia? Who's our Barry? And what makes them so awesome to work with?
Oh my God, we have an incredible cast, and I am so lucky. My Jerry Goffin, my husband is Dylan S. Wallach, and he's a New York actor like the rest of the crew, and he is just the most. He's so lovable. He's an incredible Jerry. His voice, I've heard people be like, oh, he's bringing some John Legend to this Jerry Goffin. You know, his voice is incredible. Our Cynthia Weil is Allison Whitehurst. And her and Jacob Heimer, who is our Barry Man, have the most incredible comedic timing you have ever seen. I've seen a lot of people say, like, wow, I didn't know the show was going to be so funny. And that really is because of our Barry and Cynthia. Jacob and Allison just have this really great chemistry, and they really, you know, things go back and forth. The woman that plays my mom, Suzanne Grodner, is a comedic genius. She is on stage for 7 minutes, but she gets exit applause. our Donnie Kirshner, our famous, you know, record producer and father figure for Carol, Donnie Kirshner is played by James Clow, another, you know, Broadway veteran, along with Suzanne. Kills kills his comedic timing as well. So you're really in for, you know, not only some hits, but some drama and some laughs.
Awesome, for sure. Well, I can't wait to see it again. Sort of in closing, explain to our listeners that why they should come out and what, you know, just how when, you know, we get to the end there and I feel the earth move comes on, how everyone's going to be
That's
standing
right.
on
Don't
their
leave
feet.
It, Bows. Don't leave it, Bows. You're going to miss Earth Move. You're going to miss your favorite song. We're going to have you on your feet clapping and singing along with us. And I always just have to say, like, come for the hit songs, but stay for the story. You know, you're going to be moved by her story.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time. And I honestly, I can't, it's one of those shows, you know, we do a lot of interviews and promote a lot of shows, but it's one of those that I'm dying to see it again. So, we can't wait.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yep. It's everybody again. It's beautiful. The Carole King musical at National Theater from November 27th through December 30th. Sarah Bockel, thanks so much. You're great.
Thank you. You are.
All right. See ya.
Bye.